There are about 6 million people on earth today. And the Bible divides those 6 million people into two groups. Saved or lost. It is possible to identify those who are saved because their life was transformed by their faith. A faith that cannot transform, cannot save. Transformation is the evidence of salvation. People today try all kinds of diets. I know I have tried just about everything that exists. How do we know we have found a true diet? By the result produced. Transformation is the evidence that our diet is working. And transformation is the evidence that our faith is working. Anybody today can claim anything. Even claim to be saved. But if the person still lives in sin, if he delights in those sins, and his life is the same as before, and his life was not transformed, then most likely the person is not saved. A saved person is a transformed person. And this morning in our text, Jesus is going to talk about that. He is going to talk about the faith of a man he met in Jericho and showed us that his faith was a transforming faith. Please turn with me to our text. We're at Luke chapter 19. As we continue where we stopped last week, today we start a new chapter. It is divided into three parts. Salvation, the first 10 verses. Stewardship, verses 11 to 27, and surrender, verses 28 to 48. Today we will only take the first part, dealing with salvation, as we look at the story of the guest who became the master and the host who became the guest. Chapter 19. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem to die on the cross, approached Jericho, and we remember last week he had healed a blind man that was begging by the road. His name was Bartimaeus. Not only was he healed, but he was also saved. And he was right there among those following Jesus. Here Jesus entered the city of Jericho. It was to be the Lord's last visit to Jericho. Jericho was a beautiful, warm city with palm trees that Herod had rebuilt. Not the same city that was destroyed by Joshua and his men. Not either the same city that exists today. Today it is an Arab village 17 miles from Jerusalem. It says here that he passed through Jericho. Jesus did not have to pass through the city to get to Jerusalem. And it does not appear either that he intended to stay there, but we will see that there was a man there who was ready and willing and waiting to be saved. So for the sake of that man, Jesus will pass through Jericho. What God is willing to do for the sake of one sinner, he is not willing that any shall perish. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Here we are introduced to the man who was the reason why Jesus passed through the city. His name Zacchaeus means righteous one. A real joke. The man was not living up to his name. He was far from being righteous. He was cheating. It's like calling a 6'6" man shorty, or call a 300-pounder tiny. Don't make sense. And to call this thief righteous one did not make sense. He was a chief tax collector, which means that he was a supervisor. He had other collectors. He was hiring them to work under him. And this is the only place in the New Testament where a chief tax collector is mentioned. He had been placed at the head of the entire tax district of Jericho, one of the three main Palestinian tax offices. The other two were in Caesarea and Capernaum. There were only three main tax offices. Now, being a border city, Jericho had a customs station, and because it was one of the wealthiest cities of Palestine in the most fertile part of Judea, taxes there were tremendous. That's why this man was rich. One of the things that Jericho was famous for was a balm coming from a balsam tree. It was fragrant, soothing, and highly regarded for its healing power. That alone yielded high taxes. So we have a man in charge of the collections office. He's got people that he's hiring. He's the supervisor, and money is coming in for him. This is the third man in a row that Jesus came in contact with. First one was the rich young ruler. After hearing to get rid of his riches, he went away sorrowful because he was very rich. We don't know what happened to him, whether he repented. All we know is he walked away from Jesus sorry. Then there was Bartimaeus, the blind man. Even after being told to shut up and not bother Jesus, he cried out all the more. And he was healed by Jesus, and he was saved. And he was there in the crowd with Jesus. And here we have the third man, Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. Like Bartimaeus, he will be saved. His conversion is the last one recorded during the lifetime of Christ, except one more. Do you know who? The thief on the cross who was converted just before Jesus died in chapter 23. He might have been the last tax collector converted, but he sure was not the first. Remember in the beginning of our study of this book in chapter 3, tax collectors were saved at the teaching of John the Baptist. And when they came to be baptized, they asked him what they were to do. And he told them, collect no more than what is appointed for you. Do not overcharge. Do not cheat anymore. A common thing that all tax collectors did. So this man Zacchaeus sought to see who Jesus was. But he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. Why? Maybe he had heard about him, and he wanted to see what the man looked like. Maybe it was simply a matter of curiosity. Maybe he was curious because of the big crowd. And he asked others around, and he was told that it was Jesus, and he saw that they were all excited about him. Maybe it was only curiosity, maybe not. He may not have had the knowledge or the awareness that Bartimaeus, the blind man, had. But still, he appeared to have had an earnest desire. We will see that this man will run. He will climb a tree. He will make a genuine effort to see him, not thinking about what people will say as they see him do those things. But he was most likely led by the Holy Spirit. Either it was only curiosity or a genuine desire, he had a problem. He was too short to be able to see Jesus over the heads of the people. Scholars say that he may have been less than 5 feet tall. That is shorter than Danny DeVito, just so you understand. Small man. So he ran ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Now, being a hated tax collector, every Jew hated tax collectors. And being a hated tax collector, he could not dare enter a big crowd and try to push and try to get to the front to see. He could have been beaten real bad. So seeing the direction that the crowd was going and being forgetful of his rank, he ran ahead and he climbed up into a tree and he waited for the crowd to pass by so that he could see Jesus in the center of that crowd. He just wanted to see him. Zacchaeus did two things unbecoming to a man of his position. Number one, he ran. In the East, men do not run, especially not rich men or government officials. Still, they don't run today. Another thing, he climbed a tree. They do not run, much less climb trees like schoolboys. But one interesting thing, Zacchaeus became like a little child, and he will receive the kingdom like a little child, just as Jesus mentioned earlier in chapter 18. Even though it was only curiosity that motivated him, John Calvin wrote, "Curiosity and simplicity are a sort of preparation for faith. Simple curiosity has brought many into the family and the kingdom of God. More than anything else, it is pride that keeps many successful people from trusting Jesus Christ. It was a gracious impulse of the Holy Spirit that made this rich official of the government humble and unmindful of keeping a decorum." Now, the sycamore tree mentioned here is not the North American sycamore tree. The tree described here is related to a fig tree, very leafy and easy to climb with branches close to the ground. In all those leaves, Zacchaeus thought that he could see without being seen. But the Lord will see the little man up there on that branch. Zacchaeus had no idea what was going to happen to him when he ran and when he climbed that tree. This tree will produce good fruit. This man will never be the same. So we read in verse 5, "And when Jesus came to the place where the tree was, he looked up and he saw him and he said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' Even with all the commotion and all the people around him, Jesus could see this little man in the tree. He also knew his name. And he called him by his name. The good shepherd calls his sheep by name. He also knew that Zacchaeus, just like Bartimaeus, the blind man, had faith to be saved. Interesting. Although Zacchaeus was very eager to see Jesus, and he ran and he climbed up a tree, it was Jesus and not the chief tax collector who took the initiative in arranging a personal contact between the two. Zacchaeus thought he was seeking Jesus, but it was Jesus who was seeking him. Then Jesus did something very unusual. He invited himself to dinner. People did not normally invite themselves to someone else's home. We still don't do that today. We wait. And it's also interesting that Jesus did not say, "Will it be convenient for you to have me visit today?" Oh, he said, "I must stay at your house." This is the only instance of Christ inviting himself. What was the must? Zacchaeus must be saved. And Jesus must stay in. The requirement for salvation, Jesus must stay in. So Zacchaeus made haste, and he came down and he received him joyfully. Here we see the response of Zacchaeus. With no hesitation, he hurried, he jumped out, and he received Jesus joyfully. He did not even call his wife first. "Honey, you got something ready? I want to bring someone for dinner." He was all excited. He was filled with joy. But he had to get out of the tree. Many hang in the tree after Jesus has called them. Zacchaeus, I'm sure, never descended from a tree more quickly than that one, and never with greater joy. We are not told how far his house was from that tree. But we see in verse 7, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." The city of Jericho was also filled with scribes and Pharisees and religious people. And when they saw Jesus going into the house of this tax collector, an open sinner, they murmured and they grumbled and they put him down. "How can this man do such a thing? Be the guest and even eat with such a sinner?" Unanimously, they disapproved of Jesus' choice. They probably felt that his action was an affront to the priest and the other religious leaders whose houses Jesus passed by to go into the house of that sinner. I'm sure he could have gone to Rabbi so-and-so or to a scribe and Pharisees, but no, he passed those houses and he went to the house of that sinner. So we have here mixed emotions. One man is thrilled to death. He is rejoicing. Jesus not only talked to him, but he's coming to his house to eat. He is going to be there. All he thought is, "I'm going to see him go by." So we have one man excited, rejoicing, and many others are unhappy, murmuring and grumbling. Verse 8, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." Now something is missing here. Something happened between verse 7 and verse 8, and we are not told. We are not told what Jesus really said to this man in his house. We don't know what went on behind closed doors. From Jesus entering this guy's house, we jump to where Zacchaeus is now a changed man. He stood up and he made a confession. He made the statement saying that he was willing to give half of his possession to the poor, and on top of that, to restore four times those people whom he had cheated. He really was a changed man. It is still the same for every person. Something goes on between Jesus and the sinner that no one else knows. The Lord speaks to people alone. The Lord talked to Zacchaeus. We don't know. All we see is Zacchaeus is standing up. He's a changed man. And I'm going to give back what I've taken. And I'm going to restore what I have cheated. Zacchaeus showed by his deeds that he was a changed man. Here we see a truly generous spirit, a genuine desire to make right any past wrong. Both attitudes reflect a change of heart. He said, I give, I restore, both in the present tense, not making future promises, oh yes, Lord, I will and I will. No. I give now, I restore now. I'm a changed man now. Obviously, the man was guilty of some injustices in his collection of taxes and customs. This is quite a confession. The short man is jumping up, confessing that he is restoring, acknowledging that he had stolen. Under the law, in Leviticus chapter 6, if a thief confessed his crime, he had to restore what he took, add 1/5 or 20% to it, and then offer a trespass offering to the Lord. So he would restore what he had taken, he would give 20% more to the person that he had stolen from, and then he would go to the temple and he would offer a trespass offering. If he stole something that he could not restore, he had to repay 4 times what it was worth. If he was caught with the goods, he had to restore and also pay double the value of what he had taken. That's in Exodus 22. So Zacchaeus offered to pay the highest price because his heart had truly been changed. He was no longer a selfish, self-centered man only looking out for himself. That's how he lived his entire life. Cheating people, changing prices, exaggerating the taxes and the values in order that he would get more money. He lived for me, myself, and I. What I can get, I want. He's a changed man. He never said those words before. I give, I restore. He never said those things. Indeed, something happened. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Because he also is a son of Abraham. After the confession of Zacchaeus, Jesus said, today salvation has come. Why? Was it because he gave half of his possession to the poor? No. Was it because he restored 4 times what he took wrongfully? Zacchaeus was not saved because he promised to do good deeds. He was saved because he responded by faith to Christ's gracious word to him. Having trusted in the Savior, he then gave evidence of his faith by promising restitution. He was even determined to do far more than what the law demanded. A seeking sinner had met a seeking Savior. In true repentance, the man had found personal salvation. Those gracious words of the Master were an assurance of salvation to Zacchaeus and promised to all men in every land, in every age, that Jesus Christ saves sinners. If he can save this bad one that nobody wanted to go to, have anything to do with, he can save anyone. Then Jesus announced that he had become a son of Abraham. Today salvation has come. Today he also is a son of Abraham. What does Jesus mean by a son of Abraham? Does he mean a Jew? No. But a son of Abraham by faith. Abraham was the father of those who believe. Abraham was not a Jew. He was a native of Ur, of the Chaldeans, Babylonians. He was a Gentile. The word Jew comes from a Hebrew word which means from the other side. Abraham was called a Hebrew in Genesis 14, meaning he came from the other side. Now do not believe that a person can be saved by works, by giving half of his possessions to the poor, or restoring four times what he has taken by false accusation. This is not a formula for salvation. Salvation is by faith. This guy, Zacchaeus, was saved because he believed Jesus Christ. And because he believed, then he was led to do those things. He was transformed after he believed. Transformed by faith, not by deeds done. Zacchaeus became the guest in his own house. And the guest was now his master. He was ready to obey the Lord and do whatever was necessary to establish a genuine testimony before the people. When a day begins, you never know how it will end. It may look real good, you're doing real well, you don't know how it's gonna end. It may start rotten and you don't know how it's gonna end. For Zacchaeus, that day, he may have had a rough time, but it ended up in joyful fellowship with the Son of God in his house. And he was now a changed man with a new life. Oh, what a day with Jesus can do in a person's life. May you be changed today by spending a day with Jesus. Then we read in verse 10, Jesus continues his statement, "Today salvation has come to this house because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." We have the whole gospel in this verse, and yet not a word here has two syllables. The full gospel is in this verse. We can see three things about Jesus in this one verse. First, we see the mission of Jesus. The Son of Man has come to earth. Number two, we see the purpose of His mission. Come to earth for what? To seek and to save. And number three, we see the object of His mission. That which was lost. Us. Humanity. What does it mean to be lost?
There are some who are saved. There are some who are lost. What does it mean to be lost? A thing is lost when it has gotten out of its own place into the wrong place. And when we find such a thing, we return it to the place it ought to be. A person is lost when he has wandered away from God. That person is found when he is returned to a right relationship with God in the household and family of his father. Zacchaeus had wandered away from God. He was lost. He had allowed the love of money to master him. He was out of place. He had to be returned to the place he ought to be in a right relationship with God. Letting God be his master and not the love of money anymore. To be lost means to be living without hope in this world and the world to come. Living a life apart from God, out of place. Even very rich, Zacchaeus was a dissatisfied man. His dishonest acquisitions added to his wealth, but subtracted from his peace of mind. People who cheat, who deceive others, who commit crimes, who lie, do not have peace of mind. There's always something back there that doubt, I'm going to get caught one day. Somebody's going to catch me. They have no peace of mind. People who break the law do not have peace of mind. So this rich man in a high position working for the government was a dissatisfied man. He knew that the least he could do would be to repay those people he had cheated. His soul required more, and his soul longed for salvation such as only Jesus Christ can give. When is a person lost? Person is lost now in this world and will be lost after death for all eternity. If a person is not saved, his entire family also suffers as a result of it. If parents are not saved, then the children will suffer and will go through loss because of it. How is a person lost? By doing nothing to be saved. A person is lost. By continuing in sin, a person is lost. By refusing to accept God's plan of salvation, which is accepting Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And by not accepting this, a person is lost. It makes no difference how good or moral the person is, we cannot be saved any other way than by receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Being lost must be a pretty big deal to God. For Jesus to be willing to go through what he went through, to suffer like he suffered on the cross, means that to be lost is a big deal. Why such a big deal? Because we are talking about eternity. Being cast away from God forever and ever and ever without any hope of changing that. In this story here, Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. He went out of his way to seek him. He could have continued and passed by that tree where the guy was and ignored the whole thing. But he did not. He was seeking this man, Zacchaeus. And he is still seeking the loss. Maybe some of you here today are lost and Jesus is seeking you. He will not pass by you. He is calling you by name. Because to him it is a big deal that you are not saved. His only purpose for becoming a man and dwelling among us was so that he could save that which was lost, humanity. Now that we know what it means to be lost, when a person is lost and how a person is lost, then when and how is a person saved? Let's look at Zacchaeus. When was he saved? When he ran to the tree? When he was in the tree? When he came down from the tree? Or at home when he made the statement? When was he saved? D.L. Moody said, somewhere between the branch and the ground. That's probably right. When he said in his heart, I will go down, I will go to him, that's when he accepted Jesus. When he said in his heart, I will. So people are saved when they realize something is missing. I'm out of place. I need a savior. I cannot be saved on my own. And like Zacchaeus, they come to Jesus. A person is saved by a living, acting faith in Jesus Christ that is revealed by deeds accompanying the faith. A person is not saved by saying, I believe in God or I believe in Jesus. Anybody can say they believe in anything. We are told in the Bible that demons believe and tremble, but they are far from being saved. It is believing that Jesus died in our place and took our sins upon himself and then surrendering our life to him, to his lordship. By his statement here, Jesus indicates that there are two groups of people living on this earth. Saved or lost. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. There is no in between. And you fall into one of these two groups. Either saved or lost. Some sitting here might be lost, out of place. They do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord. They want him to be their Savior. Oh, I don't want to go to hell. But they don't want him to be their Lord. They won't let him tell them what to do. They believe in him. But their faith is not a transforming faith. They are still the same, living the same, doing the same thing, claiming to be Christian. When a person accepts the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that person accepts to do what God is telling them to do through His Word. Unfortunately, He cannot be our Savior if He is not our Lord. If He is not the Lord of all, He is not the Lord at all. It's up to you. You are free to make Him what you want Him to be. Many make Him their Savior, few make Him their Lord. Zacchaeus made Him his Lord and Savior. There was nothing anymore coming in between him and his Lord Jesus Christ. No longer living for money, for possession, he was finally willing to let them go. Give half to the poor and restore four times what he had taken. Zacchaeus is an example of a rich man who gets through the eye of a needle. A hard thing to do, Jesus said last week in Luke chapter 18. So there is a big difference between the last two men that we studied. Bartimaeus, the previous guy, and Zacchaeus, this guy. They were both in Jericho, but they were at the extreme opposite ends of the city. As he came close to Jericho, he met Bartimaeus. He had to go through the city to get to Zacchaeus. So they were at extreme opposite ends of the city. One was sitting by the road on the ground. The other was perched in a tree. One was very poor. The other was very rich. One sought Jesus for mercy. The other sought Jesus for curiosity. One had to get up to be saved. The other one had to come down to be saved. One had to cry out to Jesus to get his attention. The other one was called by Jesus. He did not have anything to say. Even though very different, the result was the same. They were both saved. We also see many similarities in those two cases. Both had difficulty. One could not see because he was blind. The other could not see because he was too short. Both had a fixed determination. One cried out even though he was told to shut up. He really wanted to talk to Jesus. The other ran and climbed up into a tree. He really wanted to see Jesus. Both received an unexpected call. One was commanded to be brought to Jesus. The other was commanded to come down to Jesus. Both displayed ready obedience. One immediately threw away his garment and came to Jesus, and the other hurried down from the tree and received Jesus. And both experienced instant salvation. Salvation came to them the very moment they believed and trusted Jesus Christ. Many are lost, and in order to be saved, they must meet the Savior. Sinner and Savior must meet. To the poor, afflicted ones in the pit, the Savior calls and says, "Come up to me." To the proud and self-righteous one, the Savior calls and says, "Come down to me." But either up or down, in order to be saved, the sinner has to come to the Savior and has to stay with Him. Faith brings joy, brings forgiveness, it brings humility, but it also brings transformation. Zacchaeus desired a glimpse of Jesus. He just wanted to see the man. But faith brought him much more than just a glimpse. It brought Jesus to his home to stay. It brought the lost sheep back to the loving shepherd. What a day it was for this man. What a lesson. No one is too bad to be saved or beyond the power of God's grace. Jesus has the power to change hearts. He changed this man's heart. And converted sinners will always give evidence of their conversion. What a blessing that Jesus is willing to be our guest. See that He is welcome to the guest room of your heart. And make sure your faith, like Zacchaeus, is a transforming faith. Let us pray. Father, we do thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, for bringing us here. We know, Lord, that we were led here today to come and spend time with You, to sit at Your feet, to worship You, and to study Your Word. And Father, today, what a word You had for us in the life of this short man, Zacchaeus. How he was saved by faith. A transforming faith who changed the man. He became what he was not before. Willing to do things he would never have done before. A changed man. The sinner met the Savior. And Father, I pray if there is anyone here today who are not saved, who do not know You in a personal way, who are not sure if they die they will be immediately with You, I pray, Lord, that You would touch their hearts right now. That You would call them by their name. And that while our eyes are closed and every head is bowed, that they would stand to their feet. They don't have to climb a tree. Just stand to their feet and be transformed by You, Lord. And as You saw Zacchaeus up in the tree, You will see them today standing up on their feet. And Lord, You will change them as You have changed Zacchaeus. We know, Lord, it is a big deal to You to be saved. How important it is. God bless You. God bless You. God bless You up front. Anyone else who would like to stand to their feet and meet the Savior? God bless You. Father, we do thank You for those people who stood to their feet today. Like Zacchaeus who climbed the tree, Lord, we know that You have noticed them. You have called them by their names, like You did call Zacchaeus by name. And Father, we pray today that You would begin in those four men a new work. That You would transform them. That they would live differently. That they would have a close relationship with You, Lord. So watch over them. Guide them, Lord. May they have a right relationship with You, no longer out of place. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Zacchaeus was in the tree. He thought he was safe. No one could see him, but Jesus saw him. Not only he saw him, he called him by his name. No one introduced Zacchaeus to Jesus. No one came to Jesus and said, Lord, there's a young man there in the tree. His name is Zacchaeus. Jesus knew his name. He knows the name of everybody. 6 billion people on earth. He knows them all. He was there when they were born. He has watched each and every life, each and every person. He watches, he loves, he calls. He is not willing that any shall perish and be separated from him for all eternity. Zacchaeus could have said, sorry, Lord, I'm busy. Not interested. He could have made believe he did not hear anything had he not responded. He did not have to respond. He could have stayed in his tree and said nothing and people would have laughed. Aha, Zacchaeus, he talked to you. And that would have been the end of it. But Zacchaeus would not be today where he is today. When Zacchaeus died, something happened to him. He went with the Lord. And he said nothing in the tree. He would be today in a place of darkness, awaiting the day of judgment when God will call the people to be judged and send them away. That's where Zacchaeus would be today. But Zacchaeus is not there. He is with the Lord. Because when the Lord called his name, he responded. And the Lord called few names here today. And some responded. Others may not have. But that's a personal decision. But you will not be able to blame God on the judgment day. And say, you sent me to hell. You don't care for me. You don't love me. You will not be able to say that to God. Because he loves you. And he has called you. And if you did not respond today, he will call you again later. And later. And later. Until you die, he will call your name. Because to him, it's a big deal. He is not willing that any shall perish. None of you here. None of you on this earth. So what a choice. Zacchaeus had a choice. He heard the call and he responded. And he's thankful today. Don't make the mistake of not responding all the days of your life. So may the Lord be with you. May he pour his Holy Spirit upon each and every one of you. May he guide you this week by his Spirit. We never know how a day begins and we don't know how it will end. We don't know how a week begins and how it will end. But may the Lord be with you throughout this day, throughout this week, watching over you, protecting you, loving you, keeping you close to his heart. In Jesus' name we pray.